Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's Fantasy Football Weekly preseason edition, show number three. Show number three. Yeah.
There it is. Got it out of the way.
Got it out of the way. Scott Fish, my mic's off.
Here's the thing. Done. Nobody would have known, but you made it happen.
I was not going to say anything.
My bad.
Brian
I
three under
help
the bus.
Myself.
That Mike is off. Scott Fish, Brian Johnson. Guys, we're getting into the heart of things. Most of us are in a bunch of drafts that are happening right now. People are getting all psyched for the drafts. They're either in them or they're coming shortly. We got preseason action. There's so much to talk about. Over the course of the show, we're going to bring you up to speed on the important things from all 32 teams from around the league that have happened in the last week since our last show. We're going to talk about what to do with this year's stink hole pick.
I hate that name. I still hate that name.
People hate it.
Can we think of something else?
Well, if you come up with a better name, we'll use it.
All right.
And that is this year, what is the spot you don't want to be in? Where's the spot where all the sure thing talent runs dry and you could go any direction after that? We'll talk about where that is and what we think you should do with that pick.
Well, I will say the spot is fitting for the name Stinkhole this year. The little clue out there.
That's maybe a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too on the nose.
I get it. And it took me a second.
And without doubt, the most popular single topic that we do every preseason, the reach around. Yes, this is where we give you a player from every round of the draft that we would reach a round early to select. The reach around coming up later. In this show,
the innuendos are aplenty today.
Oh boy.
They really are. It's all over the place. let's go through our 32 teams. Let's talk about what's happening around the league. Beginning, Scott, with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, not a whole lot to report here over the last week or so, but really just that Baker Mayfield still has the inside track on that starting job. Looks like it's going to be his.
Yeah, as expected. Yes. I don't think there's any big surprises there. Brian, let's go over to the Las Vegas Raiders.
In Las Vegas, DeMarcus Robinson was cut this week, and he was projected to be the wide receiver 3. As of right now, the front runners are now Mac Hollins, Keelan Cole, Tyron Johnson, and a sleeper, Indica sleeper, Dylan Stoner. These are some names just to keep in mind for deeper leagues, or if you're going to complete your Raider stack in best ball. But DeMarcus Robinson was supposed to be a starting wide receiver, and they cut him.
Was he? I don't know.
You made all of those wide receiver names up.
Those
are defensive backs that Charge brings up during the season.
Only Patrick Mahomes could make DeMarcus Robinson viable or quasi-viable or even noteworthy.
Well, he's certainly not viable now.
In Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers says it's possible that both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon could catch 50-plus passes
this
season. And with the team's dearth of talent at wide receiver and tight end, it is possible. It is possible. It would move A.J. Dillon into a safe flex role with RB1 upside if anything happened to Jones, for sure. I will note that, as a side note here, Robert Tonyan and Elgton Jenkins returned to non-contact practice as they're trying to rehab from ACLs from last year. So they're getting a little bit closer and hopefully a week one availability for them. But this A.J. Dillon, this gives further life to A.J. Dillon as somebody you can draft and actually start.
Yes.
Let's go to the Washington Commanders, Scott.
Yes, a bunch of news on which team first string, third string, second string that players are playing with. Gibson practicing with the punt team and special teams and third string offense.
Yeah.
Sam Howell getting first string reps over Carson Wentz at the end of the week.
It feels like Washington, they're trying to send a lot of messages, don't you think?
Or it's a whole lot of riverboat rod and smoke screening. But yes, the drumbeat for Brian Robinson getting work with the first team continues to grow.
Yeah, I think at this point it's draft Antonio Gibson at your own peril.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills, Brian.
The only player worth talking about out of Bills camp remains to be Zach Moss, who is shining like a shooting star. Other. Says he feels 100% healthy. Unlike last season when he was dealing with the after effects of ankle surgery he had following the 2020 season. Really, this backfield has become a mess now in Buffalo. It kind of was before, but with Singletary, James Cook, who they drafted in the second round, and Zach Moss looks to be a factor or will be a factor this season. So it's kind of a backfield I'm fading, but there's really not a ton of news out of there. But Zach Moss, not a dead cat yet.
I'm not into James Cook.
I'm really
nervous about him. I'm seeing him going in dynasty drafts very early.
You don't like a guy that got 7.3 touches per game in college?
Well, okay. To that point, I will go to the Texans, where another underutilized college back,
there you go,
Damian Pierce, continues to look great, getting first-team reps.
He looks good.
He looks so good.
He's
and I'm sorry to have brought up his name now in, I believe, five straight fantasy football weeklies, but Damian Pierce it continues to look great. And then in the preseason game last week, averaging 10 yards per carry, 5 carries, 49 yards.
Yeah, extrapolate that. That's a good season.
That'd be a very good season. Underutilized in college, but hopefully will not be the case in Houston. Let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Scott.
Yeah, I think it's more continued good news on Chris Godwin that he's practicing with the full team now, went from 7-on-7s and now practicing with the 11s. It's looking more and more likely that he might actually be ready for the start of the season. The only concern is they're a potential Super Bowl team. Maybe they don't rush him back, but he's looking like he could be a value in that sixth round or so where he's going now.
So let's talk about the team now saying they don't know when Tom Brady's going to come back or they won't commit to a date.
Yeah, they don't know when he'll be done filming The Masked Singer. So that's the theory.
I was going to say, can Godwin play quarterback? Because he might need to.
We're seeing Bucks slide, all Bucks sliding in fantasy drafts.
Let me give you another one from Train Cramp there. Gio Bernard injured his ankle, so that he was already a cut candidate. That's not good news.
So are you buying on the dip for these Buccaneers? You know, in probability, Tom Brady's going to come back.
Yeah.
In probability, Tom Brady's going to be a good quarterback.
Right.
So are you buying on the dip? We're seeing Mike Evans slide. Yep. All Buccaneers
They're
are
all
sliding.
Dipping, and I'm buying.
So are you buying on the dip?
Receivers, yes. I'm still buying Evans. I'm buying Godwin slide. I'm even liking Julio Jones really late.
I like Russell Gage the most personally,
sure,
because he's become the cheapest.
I mean, both of them are really, really late. Yeah.
All right.
I'll do it.
Brian, Cleveland Browns. Was there anything?
Nothing to talk about.
Nothing to talk about in Cleveland.
Deshaun Watson suspended 11 games, first eligible to return in Week 13 at Houston. Oh, what a coincidence. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
What we'll talk about now is what do the Browns do at quarterback in the meantime? Are they going to stay with Jacoby Brissett?
Yes.
Do they sign Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
I think it would be a big mistake because what's he going to do for you? He's like a lateral move from Brissett. So, yeah, it looks
and
like
an expensive move.
And an expensive move, not worth it. So, it looks like it's the Jacoby Brissett show for the majority of the season.
For the Indianapolis Colts, alert Dynasty and Empire Leaguers. Rookie tight end Jelani Woods has looked very good, especially as a receiver, less so as a blocker.
It's because he is good.
You kind of knew that was coming. You need to follow this guy. He is 6'7", 250 pounds, and he ran a 4.39 40-yard dash at the combine. He is an athletic freak, and he has now caught a touchdown in his first game. He's improved his training camp's performances, which started pretty rocky. Man, if they can mold Jelani Woods into the player that he could become. I mean, the parallel, and I'm not saying he's this guy because this guy's going to the Hall of Fame. He's not Antonio Gates, but that's the kind of upside that you get in Jelani Woods if everything works out perfectly.
Did he play basketball?
He did.
I bet he did. I mean,
power forward.
Very good.
Exactly. Let's go to Detroit. Scott.
Yeah, over on the Detroit Lions, DJ Chark has been impressing. They're expecting good things from him, but I like the fact DeAndre Swift came out, said he wants to go for 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards, which works every time. I mean, David Johnson, Andre Ellington, CJ Spiller, everybody who says it, they do it. It's a lock now.
I remember clearly when Adrian Peterson said he wanted to run for 3,000 yards, and he did it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The failure rate on that is actually
100%. Yes.
Let's go to the New York Jets. Brian.
Well, it sure looked like Zach Wilson blew out his knee in last week's preseason game, but he had a minor procedure this week. He won't be ready for week one, but he should only miss a game or two. So Joe Flacco will be your week one starter against the Baltimore Ravens, which is now the
third revenge
game we're looking at in week one with Russell Wilson against the Seahawks. That's not really a revenge game, though.
Yeah.
But then Baker Mayfield hosting the Browns.
They said he's looked on fire in camp, and I'm like, throw some Gatorade on him because it's not good to be on fire.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way he's not positive.
That's
the only way he was on fire.
Garrett Wilson, I'm paraphrasing, basically said he threw a better ball than Zach Wilson. So good luck getting some targets when Zach Wilson comes back. Garrett Wilson, you kind of ruined that Wilson connection.
We should mention Mekhi Becton out for the year. Big loss for that offensive line.
We did mention that last week. That's a lingering problem for the Jets for sure.
In Kansas City, let's stop talking about Isaiah Pacheco for just a few minutes here. Lots of tumult with the Chiefs wide receivers over the past week. Juju Smith-Schuster injured his knee. He's going to miss a week or two. Mecole Hardman had a groin injury. His timetable's pretty short. Sky Moore has turned heads in practice, but played primarily with the second team in the first preseason game, for whatever that may mean.
Going to get some work this week.
And Marquez Valdes-Scantling started with the first team in the first preseason game, and nobody's drafting MVS at all.
Mm-mm.
And he might be the best value Chief that you can draft as potentially at least an early season starter, especially if Sky Moore is not quite ready to go yet. Mm-hmm. So something to consider for MVS. Let's go to the Seattle Seahawks, Scott.
Sure. A couple injuries and illnesses here. Drew Lock has COVID, which he's going to miss the next preseason game, which is bad news if he wants to unseat Geno Smith.
He missed the Thursday night game.
Yeah,
yes. I thought Geno actually looked pretty good.
He missed last preseason game.
Yeah.
Ken Walker, also a hernia issue that was originally called minor, but now is having surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is for week one, but honestly, Petey's Sunshine, like they're always overly optimistic. And the fact that they thought it was a minor injury initially tells me maybe he's not going to be ready for the start of the season.
People are going to laugh at this, but don't. Travis Homer has looked very good.
He did last year. Looked
very
good,
good
year
in the two preseason games, including a jaw-dropping play on Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's it. Travis Homer may muck up the works here more than people realize.
Rashad Penny's coming off a groin injury as well. So, like, mm-hmm. the optimism around Ken Walker, I'd take that with, like, a giant deer lick-sized brick of salt instead of a grain of salt. I don't think he's going to be ready.
I'm avoiding all of
the backfield.
See it, the whole backfield. I think
Travis Homer is, like, a 16th-round pick. I can see that.
Let's go to the Denver Broncos.
In a recent press conference, Melvin Gordon was quoted as saying they want Vontae to be the guy. Speaking of Javonte Williams, of course. But the moral of this story is Javonte Williams won't be the guy. He will be the 60% guy. It's still going to be a split backfield in Denver for the most part. So don't read into that quote too much from Melvin Gordon. He's not going anywhere, and he's going
to
be a
Melvin Gordon does not get to decide these things.
No.
But it is, you know, we want all the positive reinforcement we can possibly get
right.
That Javonte Williams might be the 70% guy.
Let's
because everything changes if he can get to like 70%.
Let's reinforce that as confirmation bias.
Yes, we can get. It really is confirmation bias for sure. Next up, Rams. Both Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson are resting soft tissue injuries and they're missing time. Their timetables to return are unclear since the team has not divulged any information about the injuries whatsoever, but you'll want to keep an eye on Akers and Henderson. So right now, running with the first team are Kyren Williams and Jake Funk. Those are your first team starters right now for the Rams. You know,
Williams just came off the pump.
Don't forget A.J. Rose.
A.J. Rose running with the second and third team. There's another backfield I'm not touching.
Todd okay. Gurley.
Maybe they're going to dust Gurley off Todd Gurley.
If I got some maybe jerseys lying around somewhere.
When we come back, we'll go through the remainder of the 32 teams as we give you training camp news. It's Fantasy Football Weekly.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchi and GuillotineLeagues.com. Scott Fish and Brian Johnson are with me as well. You can get my cheat sheet for free at GuillotineLeagues.com, and you can play in the most exciting new format in fantasy football, the premise of the Guillotine League. 18 teams start the season because there's 18 weeks in the season. No head-to-head. Instead, every week, the low-scoring team gets chopped, and all their players go to the waiver wire where pandemonium ensues as you try to figure out the bidding strategies for all of these amazing free agents. What do you do when a whole draft of players end up hitting free agency and you're looking at guys, you know, it might be a scenario, something like
Jonathan Taylor. It's not far-fetched.
It could happen.
First overall pick could be available to be added in week two of a game.
Right. It could be Joe Mixon, Devontae Adams, Ezekiel Elliott, Keenan Allen, Aaron Rodgers.
You could list 200 players that could be any of them.
Yeah. I'm trying to give you a quasi-plausible roster.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll see.
Basically, guys you've never seen on the waiver wire will be available.
Yes. As you build your superstar team, just don't finish last. Okay. Let's get back to our reports from training camps, preseasons from around the league. I believe we left off on Scott, and you were on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sure, just a couple of injuries to be aware of, but I don't think they're going to affect week one. Miles Sanders dealing with a hamstring issue that they're being cautious with. Devonta Smith missing some practices with a groin issue. Boston Scott dealing with a concussion. Once again, I don't think any of them are going to drift into week one for you, though.
All right, Miami Dolphins, Brian.
No major news out of Dolphins camp recently, but I've made an observation. So Tyreek Hill is a consensus top 10 wide receiver, right?
Yeah, roughly 10.
Sure.
Going off the board
about
there.
Right on that edge, yeah.
Jalen Waddle, top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah, right
so
about that.
So why is Tua hovering around quarterback 17, 18? That, that doesn't add up.
Teddy
right?
Bridgewater from 2 years ago.
You guys discuss.
Yeah, go from there. Well, I mean, you can make that case for Kirk Cousins, right?
Yep.
Justin Jefferson going off the board at 1 or 2 at wide receiver, and Adam Thielen's going off the board at, 18.
Yeah. And the only other team that has two wide receivers in that top 20 is the Bengals, but Burrow is
going
way
up
there.
Three.
So just think about that on draft day out there, everyone. There's value to be had at quarterback later in your draft.
Yes.
In Minnesota, Alexander Mattison has lost the automatic handcuff assumption. That is gone. And if you don't realize that that's gone now, then it's at your own peril. He was outplayed in the preseason game by both Kane Wongwu and rookie fifth rounder Ty Chandler. And you really need to watch that kid. You know, Mattison played the first two series and, you know, presumably granted against better competition, but he got dramatically outplayed in the first preseason game by Wongwu and Chandler, who both jumped off the screen, especially Chandler, who looked incredibly fast and elusive. This Ty Chandler kid looks pretty legit. He was at North Carolina last year, so he followed the footsteps of Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, and that, I'm telling you, that kid looks It's only one preseason game. Nobody's carving a bust at Canton. But he looks really promising. And both of those players are a threat to Alexander Mattison. You know, the rumors going back to Mattison, he was in the final year of his rookie deal. We had already heard a lot of rumors in Minnesota that he would not get re-upped. That whole timeline could be accelerating right now.
Yeah, he could be on the roster bubble, right? They're not going to keep four running backs.
They're not going. They probably don't keep four. Andy doesn't play special teams.
Yeah, Wongwu's their top
trade.
I think they may try to trade Alexander Mattison, which ultimately, you know, maybe finds himself in a better spot than he is right now. But don't automatically, if you're looking for that handcuff, don't automatically handcuff Mattison. In fact, if you're draft Cook, I would not take any handcuff right now.
By the way, I like that you've used the word peril twice in this show now.
We are imperiling our listeners with such great information. Dallas Cowboys, Scott.
The Cowboys claim to be completely good with their wide receivers despite Gallup, still hurting. He is practicing some now, but he may still start the season on PUP. James Washington out 2 to 3 months. Doesn't seem like they want to add anyone, any veterans, anything. They think they're good to go.
I think you're probably right. Total targets. Scott, just quick twitch. Total targets for, let's start with CeeDee Lamb.
131.
Okay. Total targets for Dalton Schultz.
112.
I think that's a lot. That'd be a lot.
I think you're way light on Lamb.
I do too.
I think
he's going to be a $160. Yeah, that's what I think too.
That's why they play the game, though. We'll see.
New England Patriots, Brian.
Church, your pants are about to come flying off because we're going to talk about your boy, Jonnu Smith.
Yes!
According to Patriots beat writer Evan Lazar, the Pats are going to put Smith in as many situations as they can to feature his skills as a ball carrier. They're feeding him the ball in these practices. So are you back in on Jonnu Smith?
Well, okay. Technically, I was never off Jonnu Smith, but I had to be quiet because the team was underutilizing his many diverse talents.
Kind of stuff. Dalton Schultz had 104 targets last year, and Cooper's gone. 112 isn't that ridiculous.
No, we think you're light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we think you're light.
I was going to say.
Yeah, no, no.
I have him in the same range as last year.
Yeah, no, I think he goes up. Oh, okay. I think he goes up from last year.
Okay, yeah, I had him up just a little.
So Jonnu, I mean, he brings a ridiculous skill set to the field, and they never utilized it last year. And we've heard all these reports, like, from training camp, we're going to use Jonnu Smith more. They're paying him a ton of money. At this point, I think everybody just needs to see it before we can believe it.
I'm with you. He virtually goes undrafted in every draft I've done, but he might be worth a last-round pick. We'll find out.
Steelers, arguably the biggest story of the entire preseason is the emergence of rookie receiver George Pickens making head-turning catches in minicamp, training camp, preseason games. He's looked great, and he's getting extra run with Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool dealing with some minor injuries here. This is very likely. I think he's one of the three starting receivers at the start of the season. I don't think he's. Nope. I think he's a week one full rotation guy.
Once again, Chase Claypool was dead on when he said he was one of the top three wide receivers. He didn't mean NFL. He meant on his team. He's the third wide receiver on that team.
He is the third wide receiver on that team. Yes, I believe that is correct. Let's go to the New York Giants, Scott.
The Giants keep talking up a huge Barkley workload, which is interesting and really of note considering he becomes an unrestricted free agent after the year. Maybe we're looking at a DeMarco Murray type situation for this final year with the Giants.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
You know, people will remember from what, about now, 6-7 years ago, where the Dallas Cowboys just ground up DeMarco Murray in the last year of his rookie deal, let him go in free agency after that, and he was never the same back.
Yep.
Could be the same thing here.
I've been taking Barkley in the first round now. My one of my peacock offs was he'll be RB1.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're
one of the many reasons. I think they give him easily 350 opportunities, carries plus targets.
Yeah. We're heavy Barkley on this show.
Yep.
All right, let's go to the Tennessee Titans. Brian.
All right, last week with Tennessee, it was Treylon Burks bad. This week, it's Treylon Burks good again, I guess. He's been making some nice plays in joint practices with the Bucks. His ADP has fallen recently. Maybe a good opportunity to buy the dip on Treylon Burks. Everyone was out on him last week, but people slowly getting back in on him.
Keep an eye on rookie Kyle Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, he's been running with the ones.
He's been running with the ones. And
not just that. I mean, watching his plays, he is dusting people.
Yeah.
His route running is good.
It's really good. And Kyle Phillips, if the pathway to playing time is there, right? Treylon Burks has been slow to start the season. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not exactly a showstopper. And Robert Woods is trying to get back from an ACL.
Yeah.
So Kyle Phillips,
he's going to get run.
You're more plugged into dynasty leagues than I am. You know,
no, Kyle Phillips was easily a fourth round pick, like a fourth round dart throw in a lot of dynasty leagues. I just see it moving up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that based on what we've seen so far. All right, back to me. Next team up is the 49ers. For those looking long term, speaking of like fourth round rookies in a dynasty league, Niners rookie wide receiver Danny Gray has looked great in practice. Vikings coaches used the term uncoverable in joint practices this week. He caught a bomb from Trey Lance in last week's preseason game and another one down the right sideline against the Minnesota in the joint practices this week. He's a third rounder from SMU, Danny Gray. And since you probably don't know very much about Danny Gray, here's a background for you. He's very fast. He is a playmaker. He tracks the ball, instinctive runner after the catch, and known for his big, big plays in college. He needs polish. He needs ball skills. And starting his career behind Debo and Ayuk, he'll learn from the bench, and maybe he learns that polish and those ball skills. And he might be somebody that that starts demanding a certain amount of playing time at some point. And if anything were to happen to a starter,
right,
might find his way on the field.
Yeah, it's got to be that. It feels like there's not enough targets to go around there in a Trey Lance-led offense with that many weapons already.
That's a wide receiver.
It is a name to keep in
hand. Danny Gray. It's, like I said, fourth-round Dynasty League kind of level for Danny Gray. The Atlanta Falcons, Scott.
Drake London's knee injury not considered serious. Both Mariota and Ritter have looked good, but given what the team might do this year, I would expect Ritter, who does look pro-ready, to get some shots later in the season. But mostly Tyler Allgeier, who I play in a fantasy league with.
You love dropping those in.
I think it's funny for the listeners. I don't know. Maybe it's not. He drafted himself as his RB2 in that league. So
that's some inside info right there. Yeah. You don't get that anywhere else.
Yes. Yeah, so I'd keep an eye on that situation. He's got big faith in himself to be a fantasy producer.
Cincinnati Bengals, Brian.
Joe Burrow has resumed practicing following his appendectomy. Came back a little sooner than expected, but we all expected him ready for week one. But he is good to go. Bengals fans are happy, as are his fantasy managers.
In New Orleans, Jameis Winston's dealing with a foot injury on top of his recovery from last year's ACL, which is not an ideal way to get reacclimated to your offense. Michael Thomas is on track to start week one, so that's some good news there. Adam Schefter tweeted this week that Alvin Kamara may not miss any time following his Super Bowl altercation.
I don't think he will. Not this year, anyway.
And that's another guy. Buy the dip. He's falling into the late second round, early third round for Alvin Kamara. Okay, I'm in. I mean, if there weren't for this suspension issue, he'd be going, what, top of the second round?
Yeah, probably.
Probably? Yeah.
Second round.
Probably. I got him RB4 right now.
Okay.
Overall. Wow.
He's not – I'm assuming – under the assumption he's not going to miss any games unless he gets injured. But, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinals, yes. Scott.
By the way, on the Allgeier thing, I just feel like he's close to the situation and he knows the player really well. That's all it is.
Can he get me a Kyle Pitts game-worn jockstrap?
Are you guys that close?
I will
shoot that in the comments of trade offer.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, can you... I'll make it part of the trade.
That's part of the trade offer.
I would appreciate that.
Okay, Arizona Cardinals, not much here. Zach Ertz has been out with a calf injury for a couple weeks now, and he's still sitting, but he's expected to be fine. And they want to make Rondale Moore a big part of that offense, which is, I still find interesting. He'll be fine for the first 6 weeks, I'm sure.
I'm skeptical.
I am too. Once Hopkins gets back, I don't feel like there's going to be enough for him.
Do players wear jockstraps anymore? I mean, isn't this from the 50s?
I will ask that in the comments.
Yeah, you should. I mean, I don't think anybody wears a jockstrap, right?
Well, definitely not cups.
I mean, if you even wanted to buy one, where would you go?
Oh, boy.
Can you get one at Shields? I mean, where do you go for a jockstrap these days?
I don't even know.
I've never seen one for sale in my entire life.
Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You would think.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
No one expected James Robinson to be ready by week one, coming off the Achilles tear, but he's been ramping up his activity in practice, and now head coach Doug Peterson expects him to be ready for week one. So pump the brakes a little bit on Travis Etienne and even Snoop Connor, because if Robinson comes back, he is going to be involved. Not going to dominate the touches, but just another backfield that could just be a mess this season.
All right, I'm going to take the other side of that.
I'm sure you
can come. You can be healthy enough to play, but that doesn't mean you're effective, and that is what gets players coming off the Achilles. You know, Marlon Mack is a recent example. It's just because you can play doesn't mean you're very good off the Achilles. I don't trust James Robinson. Nothing to do with him. I have 0% ownership across all my leagues.
I'm just reporting the news over here.
All right, Baltimore. J.K. Dobbins came off the PUP list, trending in the right direction to start the season, but he's still only doing individual non-contact drills at this time. Dobbins is not going to play in any preseason games, and John Harbaugh has refused to say if he will or will not be ready for week one, and maybe he still doesn't know at this stage if he will or not be ready for week one. So drafters are going to have to take a certain leap of faith on Dobbins that he'll be ready for, close to ready at the beginning of the year.
Tyler Beatty in your late rounds, maybe.
Well, that could be your handcuff right there. It doesn't appear to be. It looks like Gus Edwards is far enough behind that he's not the handcuff that you want to have.
Yeah.
At this time,
I mean, his injury was like a week later, and his surgery was later too. So,
let's go to the Chicago Bears. Your final team, Scott.
The Bears' whole line has looked absolutely so dreadful.
So bad.
In the first two games against the Chiefs and the Seahawks. Let's hope Fields can get out of the pocket and grab some rushing yards if you're going to start him. Interesting fact, the Daniel Hunter and Za'Darius Smith sack totals went sack total overs for Vegas went up two each.
Wow.
After no, I'm just kidding.
It could have.
It feels like it could have. That line has looked atrocious. Beware.
Seriously.
Of that. All offensive players a little bit.
Should people draft Bears at their own peril?
Oh, boy. That's, yes.
I think that's the case. The lines looked horrible. Like historically bad so far.
Yes.
All right, final team for you. And the final team for this segment is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Another slow news camp, if you want to put it that way. But I found this funny. Keenan Allen, when asked about Justin Herbert, said, you see him, he stays like an hour and a half after practice just throwing balls. It's crazy. Then Keenan Allen laughs. And when asked why he laughed, Allen said with a smile, Philip never stayed after practice to throw the ball.
Yeah. Isaiah Spiller, really, the stuff I've seen has looked pretty nondescript to this point. And he's not running with the second team. I've got a little bit of concern there. Just keep watching that developing situation.
Is it Larry Roundtree?
Josh Kelly is Justin Jackson's
gone, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Justin Jackson's gone.
Joshua
Kelly is how it's looking right now, is the number two. Speaking of number two, what to do with the worst pick in the first round?
Don't say the word.
I'll tell you what that's going to be in just a moment.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Ciarchi and Brian Johnson and Scott Fish with you. Every year, the draft has got this one spot in it where all the sure thing guys that everybody wants are gone, and then you're the next one up. We call that the stink hole. Scott hates that. Until you come up with a better name, we're going to call it the Stinkhole.
Come on, listeners. You got one, right?
All right. Yeah. Give it to us.
How about the Rot Slot?
That's really not better.
I don't know that that is any better. In fact, I'm pretty
sure
that's
worse.
So the question this year, now traditionally, we've had this segment on the show for years and years. Traditionally, it's sitting somewhere at like pick five, pick six, pick eight. This year, the Stinkhole is pick two.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is an obvious pick at one in most league formats. We're going to talk through different formats in a minute. Jonathan Taylor. And after that, you can make a case for about six or seven different players, and the player you would have picked at two may very well be available at pick six or pick seven or pick eight. So there's a ton of variation that comes in beginning immediately. Start a draft at pick number two. Let's talk about what to do if you've got pick two. In a variety of different formats. I want to start in the most common format, which is point per reception. So let's talk that through first. Then we'll talk about non-PPR, and then we'll talk about Superflex. Some people may not even know what Superflex is. We'll explain that too. But so in a PPR draft, point per reception, Scott Fish.
Yep.
What are you doing at pick number two?
Yeah, I'm still a super injury agnostic guy. My lean is to go Christian McCaffrey just because even if he took away like all his touchdowns from 2019, he still scored more points than Jonathan Taylor did last year. When he's fully healthy, he's a complete stud. However, I'm going to go a slightly different route. I'm going Austin Eckler. The guy scored 20 touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm. He stayed mostly healthy.
He did.
And as we've just mentioned, no one is really stepping up to take that role. He wants someone to take that RB2 role from him, and nobody is. And what we have is a team that's going to be in a lot of shootouts in that division, and they're playing on turf in domes a lot this season. I think Austin Eckler is the guy I want at number two.
I worry a little bit about last year being the big breakout in terms of touches and usage, and if that continues in year two. But
the big problem is goal line. He had never gotten goal line carries in his career, basically, and last year he exploded with them. So
that helps. Brian, it's pick number two. Jonathan Taylor's gone. What are you doing?
I'm going to go McCaffrey. I have the same concerns as everyone. Will he stay healthy? Nobody knows, but you can say that about any player, really. I know he's had like the soft tissue issues, but going under the assumption he stays healthy, no one compares to Christian McCaffrey as a combined rusher and pass catcher. Over his last 21 healthy games, he has finished as a top two running back in nearly half of them.
43%.
And a
That's
top,
ridiculous.
Top six back in nearly 90%.
Yeah.
Since 2018, he has averaged 8.1 targets per game. If you put that over a single season, that's the best mark of any running back since Matt Forte in 2014. So his pass-catching floor is incredibly safe, gives him massive upside. A pretty good O-line in Carolina. I know there's risk
there. No, it's not. It's a bad offensive
line.
No, it's bad.
Mediocre. But yeah, it's bad. Fine. I'm still going McCaffrey.
I do not put risk into the top of my draft. Yeah. I put my risk into the middle and bottom parts of my draft, not the top. I want sure things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, with pick number two, Jonathan Taylor off the board, I'm taking Justin Jefferson, the safest pick in this draft. He is the all-time leading receiver through the first 2 years of his career. He is verifiably awesome. We don't even have to talk about how good he is. And his quarterback never misses a game and has a 31-game touchdown streak, longest in the NFL. The Vikings' Stone Age offense is getting a breath of fresh air with Kevin O'Connell, who may very well do for Justin Jefferson what he did for Cooper Kupp last year and beyond what he did for Kupp. And I'm not saying he's going to have a better season than Cooper Kupp had last year because it's almost impossible. But, you know, Kupp plays almost entirely from the slot. Jefferson can play from all over the field. Kevin O'Connell can scheme him from the entire field. I love Justin Jefferson. And I believe he is the right pick at the second selection overall.
Yeah, I changed my answer.
If I convinced you?
Not only that, but I thought to myself, I've done about four drafts in the last 2 weeks, and twice I had four real drafts, and twice I had the number two, and I did take Justin Jefferson.
All right.
I'm thinking to myself, I talked myself into Eckler, and I'm like, but that's not what I did. So
we'll go with your actions, not your words.
Right.
Which we say all the time with NFL teams. Don't believe what they say. Believe what they do.
I think it's a bit of Homerism that came in play.
All right. So now let's do the same exercise, But in a non-PPR league, so no points per reception, which tilts the field towards touchdown scoring running backs,
yeah,
mostly. So, but you say whoever you want. All right, Scott, in a non-PPR league, what are you doing at pick 2 overall?
And again, it's Jonathan Taylor is going first overall.
Jonathan Taylor going first overall. Leagues, yep, correct.
Yeah. So I really, really was, I was thinking, you know, we're probably going to see double-digit touchdowns out of McCaffrey. We're probably going to see it again out of Eckler. Najee Harris's his touchdowns were low last year, but he got a lot of total yards, and he's going to get 300-plus touches. I still shifted back to Derrick Henry. I don't care. They're going to work him till the wheels fall off him. He even came back from that ankle injury, which is a little fluky, and he came back from it and still, you know, put up a decent amount of yards. I'm going back to Derrick Henry. I'm going back to the well.
Can I tell you the hesitation I've got on Henry right now?
I have hesitation on everyone past one. I actually have a hesitation on Jonathan too a little bit sometimes.
You know, Tennessee's got the 27th ranked offensive line by Pro Football Focus for this season. You know, we remember the heyday when this offensive line was awesome and it was opening up these massive holes for Derrick Henry to rumble through. And right. when he gets that head of speed, he's so good. But what Derrick Henry can't do is run laterally, and he can't make his own holes. Like some runners can, you know, find their own yards. He can't. And I worry this offensive line is just not going to deliver the lanes Derrick Henry needs, and they're going to get pushed around, and people are going to bounce Derrick Henry out laterally. And that's not where his speed is. I don't know. That's my worry on Derrick Henry.
He'll still get so many touches.
He will get a lot of touches. That is a fact.
And that's actually what Derrick Henry has been. A ton of touches, a bunch don't do a lot, but then he breaks them.
Brian, it's pick number 2 in a non-PPR league. No points per reception. Who are you taking?
Now, I wanted to use this as my answer for the PPR league, but I didn't want to use the same guy twice. That's where I felt good. It's Saquon Barkley, who last week I predicted will finish as the RB1 this year, which he did in his rookie year. So I'm basically saying he's going to return to his form in his rookie year in 2018. He's still very young, turned 25 years old in February. Now 2 years removed from the torn ACL he suffered in 2020, week one of 2020, by the way. So well removed from that. He's not injury prone that a lot of people say he is. The ankle injury he suffered last year was very fluky.
It really was.
Stepped on a teammate's foot while he was running downfield. He has no setbacks with the knee so far in camp. He looks great in shape. I know everyone does, but Barkley especially does. The Giants invested heavily in their O-line in the draft. They have a new head coach, former offensive coordinator from the Bills, Brian Daboll. And as Scott mentioned in the previous segment, or one of the previous segments, Barkley's in his final year of his contract, and there's no guarantee he gets re-signed, and the Giants might give him that DeMarco Murray treatment, run him into the ground, and then move on afterwards. So I see a big year for Saquon Barkley, so I would take him second in a non-PPR league.
All right, for me, non-PPR, which, by the way, not the same as TD only. You know, people hear that. You say non-PPR, and like, oh, no, you want us TD. I'm going to give an unpopular answer, but again, this shows where I, just my philosophy.
We're splitting hairs with so many of these things.
We are.
It's really...
My philosophy tends towards safety in these early rounds. I like Joe Mixon at pick 2 in a non-PPR league. You know, he doesn't catch the ball like Austin Eckler or Najee Harris or Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley. He doesn't have the injury history that Christian McCaffrey has and Derrick Henry. He's been mostly healthy each of the last 2 years. And Mixon's got a lot of really nice advantages. Defenses have to defend the pass
really
in
nice
a
O-line.
Big way.
Really upgraded.
And that's the other thing. They added Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, Lyle Collins. Pro Football Focus ranks the Cincinnati offensive line as the 8th best for the upcoming season. And get this. In the, I believe it was 15 games that Joe Mixon played last year, he got every single running back carry inside the 5-yard line, all of them. And there was only one running back carry the entire rest of the year, including the games he missed. So you get all of those touchdowns that we, you know, this is a, we're looking for touchdowns primarily out of pick 2 in a non-PPR league. Okay, last. What to do with pick number 2 if you are in a super flex? Now, the way super flex works, and we love super flex around here, we think this is the preferred way to play if you're in a 10 or 12 team league, and maybe even a 14 team league, you can flex a quarterback, a second quarterback in super flex. That puts a big priority on the quarterback position. And in this scenario, Josh Allen has gone first overall, not Jonathan Taylor. Now who you taking, Scott?
It's Justin Herbert. Given his division and the amount of dome slash canopy games, because SoFi has a canopy, but they're you know, protected from the weather. I feel the Chargers are not just primed to be in several shootouts, but the offense is loaded. Herbert has, you know, Allen, Williams, Palmer's coming on, Eckler out of the backfield. Even Everett and Parham are very athletically freakish tight ends.
I love Parham.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Hope he develops.
Exactly. So with 13 games on turf and domes, mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a lot of potential shootout for the Chargers.
All right, so Justin Herbert in a super flex at pick two. Brian, you've got the second pick. Josh Allen's gone. Who are you taking?
It's got to be a quarterback, obviously. In my mind, a mobile one. So everyone's saying, oh, Lamar Jackson. Wrong. I'm going Jalen Hurts, second overall in a super flex league.
Don't
the rushing floor makes him so incredibly safe, gives him massive upside. You got to love the trade for A.J. Brown. Outside of Devontae Smith last year, who was a rookie, these were his wide receivers. Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, Quez Watkins, Travis Fulgham, John Hightower, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Deontay Burnett, who combined to drop 8 touchdown passes for Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, according to Fantasy Pros, has the third easiest strength of schedule for quarterbacks, arguably the top offensive line in the game. He's going to have a monster year. I think he has a better year than Lamar Jackson did in 2019.
Jeez.
Put it on wax right now.
All right. In a super flex, and Josh Allen is gone, and I've got pick 2, I'm going to Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
And here's why. Positional differentiator. He's way, way ahead of anybody else at his position. Mm. And when I look even through super flex drafts, on my way back at pick number 2, I'm looking at Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, maybe Russell Wilson falls. I can go Jonathan Taylor, Russell Wilson. Jonathan Taylor, Kirk Cousins. I'm cool with that. I'm ready to go. I've got a massive positional differentiator as opposed to going, say, Justin Herbert or Mahomes or Burrow or whoever you might have taken at pick number 2 with the running back that's left there. That's how I would go. That's just me.
That is just you.
You guys are you're like, rah, 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 rah. When we come back, 3 tough questions. I will pepper my co-host with 3 tough questions. You can play along. Try to go 3-0. If you want to see all of my player rankings, go to guillotineleagues.com. My personal cheat sheet available for free, guillotineleagues.com. And you can check out the hottest format in fantasy football while you are there. I'm Paul Ciarchi and Scott Fish, Brian Johnson. Back for 3 tough questions right after this.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hour number two, Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchi and GuillotineLeagues.com, Brian Johnson, GuillotineLeagues.com, and Scott Fish of the Scott Fish Bowl.
Yes.
Among
yes.
other things.
Lots of things.
And this show,
sure.
Fantasy Football Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game we call Three Tough Questions. I will pepper my co-hosts with the previously mentioned three tough questions.
Tough question number one.
We now know that Deshaun Watson can return as early as week 13. Is he a top 20 fantasy quarterback in redraft leagues? Scott.
No. He finished multiple times as a top six quarterback, like on the season when he was playing fall seasons, etc. But you're missing out on 12 weeks of your 14 week fantasy season. And when he comes back, he gets, you know, a top 5D, a bottom 5D, and then three middle of the pack, but rising defenses. I just don't see it. You're missing out almost the entire season. And the best ball data bros, like the people doing data work on best ball, say he is undraftable because of that. And though in that type of style, you get his best weeks. You don't even have to worry about when to start him or the defense. You get his best weeks. And they say he's undraftable in one quarterback leagues. I wouldn't put him in my top 20 at this point.
All right, Brian. Is Deshaun Watson a top 20 fantasy quarterback in redraft leagues?
Yeah, I'm with Scott, and it's a big, big no for me. For those that aren't aware, while he's suspended, he's not practicing with the team. He's sitting at home. He's practicing on his own. So when he comes back, he's going to be...
I think, and I could be wrong, and somebody correct me, I believe now they've updated the suspension rules so that you can come back like halfway through your suspension.
Yeah, there's a little gap.
Yeah, and I think the thinking was, and it's actually pretty sound, is, you know, these kids get in trouble when they're away from the team. So then you suspend them, and you're away from the team.
Yeah.
And the safest, best place for them to not get into trouble again is when they're with the team. So I think that's why they've changed the rules. But that may not change your answer.
My mistake there. It's not changing my answer. And Scott mentioned he's got a couple decent matchups. He's the week 13 one against the Texans looks good on paper. Then in week 17, he has the Commanders, another good matchup. But in between those, from weeks 14, 15, and 16, it's Cincinnati, Baltimore, and New Orleans. Those are all like bottom five pass defenses that you want to face as an opposing quarterback. So
bottom five that I want to face.
That you want to face.
So does that mean
it's not good
or
does not bode well?
I do not want
fantasy
to.
Projections. No.
They're ones you don't want to face.
Don't want to face them.
Okay. All right.
Good secondaries on those teams. Or should be.
Is Deshaun Watson a top 20 fantasy quarterback in redraft leagues? Absolutely not. You guys gave the right answer, but I think not the same rationale that I've got. How good is he going to be 2 years removed from play?
Right.
How long is it going to take him to knock that rust off? And what about this, by the way? This Browns roster outside of the quarterback position is really, really good. And the defense is very good. They've got stars all over this defense. They got stars on the offense. Mari Cooper, Nick Chubb, maybe or maybe not, Kareem Hunt, one of the great offensive lines in football. What if they roll into week 13 and they're like, you know, they're a 9-win team. You know, what if they're 9-3? Are they going to automatically upset the apple cart?
Oh, that's an I've never heard
is
that
it
take
an automatic?
That's interesting.
What if Jacoby Brissett just isn't losing games for a team that's winning other ways? Do they automatically try to work into Deshaun Watson? Maybe not. And nobody's talking about that possibility.
I haven't heard that. Yeah,
but I think there's a chance that that ends up being the case.
Tough question number two.
What is the appropriate level of concern over Matthew Stafford's elbow injury? None, some, or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread? We were overdue for one of those. Brian.
There's no way the answer can be none here, but I'm not pooping my pants over Stafford's elbow just yet. It's just some for me. He hasn't been shut down in preseason. He's been throwing a lot in scrimmages this week. He's looked good. The Rams will monitor his workload throughout the season and the pain, but there's certainly some concern. You don't want a rare injury for a quarterback to be happening to your quarterback, which is Matt Stafford at this point.
So your answer is some.
Some.
Okay. Scott, what is the appropriate level of concern for Matthew Stafford's elbow injury? None, some, or blowed?
Okay. So for those who don't know, this elbow injury started around week 10 or so last year. He played through it week 11 on last year, and he averaged 278 yards and 2.4 touchdowns per game with this injury. However, his interceptions and fumbles, he had 12 picks and 6 fumbles in that stretch, compared to one fumble and only looks like 4 picks before that. Mm-hmm. So apparently holding on to the ball became an issue for him. But as far as just outside of that, it is a little bit concerning that it's still an issue now. They've been cautious and easy with him. I think he's just going to have to play through it. But so it's just some, because he's got more turnovers with it. It's a full year. He's getting older and he's still dealing with it. But I'm not just because he played so well with it last year, it can't be blowed. So it's some.
It's some. The correct answer for the appropriate level of concern over Matthew Stafford's elbow injury is some. I don't like rolling into a season with last year's injury still there.
It's ridiculous. That is crazy.
And is it going to get better in October, November, when we're games into this season?
Here is the more concerning part of that. He shut it down himself for like months on end after the season until, you know, OTs and stuff came up. He shut him down himself, and it's still not good.
It's still not good. So many times when players choose a non-surgical route for these things, it doesn't end up fixing the problem. And if he's going to have a reduced practice load to mitigate this elbow injury, well, I mean, at some point, practice counts, or why are we doing it? I mean, it can't help to not have practice. So there is some level of concern here for the Matthew Stafford elbow injury.
That is crazy, though. 6 turnovers before the injury and 18 after the injury.
Yeah, in a shorter time frame.
About the
game
same
or
amount.
Two shorter.
Yeah, if you count playoffs, I suppose.
Tough question number 3.
What's the appropriate level of concern for Antonio Gibson? None, some, or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread? Scott.
I am convinced you put this one in just so we would have a blowed player finally. Our first blowed of the year. Because this is full-out bowel-loosening level of extension dread. In fact, I made a trade this week with the Gibson owner just because he was so, you know, bowel-loosened, I guess.
So you brought on Gibson? You took him?
No.
Trade him away?
I traded a running back to him because he was so afraid of Gibson.
Okay. All right.
Which you all should do out there, because the drumbeat for Brian Robinson has become really hard to ignore. And we know what McKissick is in this offense. He takes all the passing work. And they went out and stole him back from Buffalo when he was going to go to Buffalo, because they must have told him, we got a role for you in this offense to bring him back. We've mentioned how he's Gibson, Antonio Gibson, is practicing with a punt team and special teams and third stringers.
Yeah.
I feel like he's still going to have a role in this offense, but he is not going to be the 10-plus touchdown guy we've seen for 2 years with a ton of touches.
Brian.
Blowed.
What is the appropriate level of concern for Antonio Gibson? Are you in full-blown blowed?
This is the most blowed I've ever in my entire life. Antonio Gibson, you got to be
Mount Rushmore blowed.
Yeah, big time. He's been fumbling all preseason in practice in the first preseason game. He led running backs in lost fumbles last year in the regular season. As Scott said, he's running with the reserves. He's returning kicks. I heard he might even be parking cars at training camp. Yeah, I haven't seen an ADP like this tumble over month over month in a long, long time. He's gone from like a third round pick. Now he's going, I've seen him go in the ninth round.
Wow. I've been seeing him sixth and seventh this last
he's
week.
He's going even later recently because people, everyone's blowed.
Where do you
it's
draft
a blowed
him?
Fest.
Would it be, you touch on that. Where
would
do you
it
draft
be
him?
Mount Blowedmore?
Mount Blowedmore. I like it.
I mean, the Washington Blowed, you meant? I mean, yeah. There's a lot of national parks and monuments that we can go with here, yeah. Right?
You're a video game guy, of course. Remember Lode Runner?
Lode Runner, the Lode Runner.
Lode Runner.
How do you know Lode Runner?
That's I played Lode Runner. Here's, yeah, I was born in 1981. I wish I didn't know what Lode Runner is. Trust me.
We'll just throw all these players in Blowed Canyon.
The answer is Blowed about Antonio Gibson's appropriate level of concern. He did not get better as expected last year. We all, we had a really nice rookie season. We thought he'd expand on that last season. Yeah. Didn't happen. He was already yielding the receptions to J.D. McKissic. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like he's going to yield at least goal lines to Brian Robinson.
And maybe more.
And then there's the big clincher. And this is what you really have to look for. It's the fumbling.
Yeah,
the terrible. Six lost fumbles last year, lost a fumble in the preseason game, the first preseason game. Listen, the fumbling will put him on the bench. That's you have to keep an eye out for more fumbling in even practices in the preseason games, because that could be the thing that pounds nails into Antonio Gibson's proverbial coffin.
And none of us mentioned this is going to be a bad team, especially offensively. I mean, we were talking about Sam Howell might start Carson Wentz as the starting quarterback. It's not going to be a very run-friendly offense.
Is Washington going to be the team that scores the fewest points in the NFL?
Ooh. One of.
They'll be right there.
And why not go yes? I mean, I think it's the Bears. I think it's the Bears and the Commanders.
Quickly checking the betting odds on this one.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the Texans because we love the Texans on
Davis
the show.
Mills.
We like the Falcons, too.
Oh,
Love's a little strong on the Falcons.
I said like. I didn't say love. Right, he might have said love.
All right, good.
I like the Falcons.
When we come back, it's time for the favorite segment that we do all preseason. It's the Reach Around. 10 rounds of players we would reach a full round ahead to get. Who is the player in the second round we would take in the first round? The player in the 10th round we take in the 9th round. Stay tuned for the Reach Around when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulge indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, Brian Johnson with you. This is a segment we call the Reach Around. We're going to give you 10 rounds of players that we would reach a round early to select. For example, coming up first is players who on average go in the second round, but we would select in the first round. So these are all players we would select one round early. It's the second round. Who would you? What second rounder would you take in the first round, Scott?
Yeah, I'm going with Saquon Barkley, and by the time you listen to this, or if you're listening to it right now, he might already be in the first round at this point. It's ridiculous.
Moving up,
he is moving up. I'm still seeing him in the second round, though. End of the second, all the drafts I did, or beginning of the second, all the drafts I did this week. His ankle injury last year, a little fluky, as we've mentioned, had him in the 60 yards per week range, but he's going to get all the volume in the world, being fully healthy, and in his final year of his contract. We've talked about
it. All right. Saquon Barkley,
yeah,
is your first reach around player. Brian, I presume you have the same guy?
For the sake of the show, I went different, but I'm certainly on board with Barkley in the first. I mentioned this earlier. I'm also on board with taking Alvin Kamara in the first round now. It's not definitive that he's not going to miss any time this season, but it sure looks like he won't face any sort of suspension until possibly next year. Very slim chances it happens this year. And Kamara, just an absolute beast since his rookie year in 2017. Has the most total touchdowns in the NFL, and he's fully healthy. He could easily lead the league in total touchdowns this season. So I said it before, RB4 for me right now, so that's a first-round pick.
My reach-around player, that it's from the second round, I would take in the first round. I have in several drafts. Dallas, wide receiver, yeah. C.D. Lamb.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper is gone. Michael Gallup's recovering from an ACL. Jalen Tolbert's a rookie. James Washington's out for 2 months with a fractured foot.
Mm-hmm.
There's basically nobody left to catch a pass outside of him and Dalton Schultz. Lamb can lead the league in targets. We alluded to this earlier in the show. Brian and I think he could get 160 targets. I mean, you know,
it's very
giant awesome. Numbers.
Yes.
Quality passer in Dak Prescott, who I think it's even better this year, you know, a year removed from the ankle injury. And also this, CeeDee Lamb's really good. And at some point, that counts for a lot, too. I want my first rounder to be a really good player. CeeDee Lamb counts there for sure.
Couldn't help it, but you didn't mention Simi Fehoko.
I did not, as a matter of fact, and I'm not going to.
Okay.
Okay, let's now go to the third round. Which third rounder would you take in the second rounder? And to mix up the order a little bit, let's start with Brian.
It's my boy Kyle Pitts, who last week, Matt said he hated. He loved the player, but hated the third round ADP on Kyle Pitts.
So this is the
most preposterous statement I've ever heard in my entire life.
Him in the second,
and I apologize to anyone who listened to that because it was just I'm beyond words. So I'm going
to
move on.
You don't have.
I'm taking Kyle Pitts in the second round, and I'll be happy to do so. One of three tight ends to top 1,000 yards last season. By the way, he's a tight end, but he plays wide receiver. He is an elite wide receiver who is eligible at tight end. An absolute cheat code.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, the only other two tight ends to top 1,000 yards. Pitts averaged more than 15 yards per reception last year. That was more. 2 yards more than both Kelce and Andrews. He had 33 contested catches last year, first among all tight ends. Virtually unstoppable if you use him correctly, which he was not used correctly last year. Saw piss-poor targets from Matt Ryan. That's the only reason he had one touchdown. It was totally fluky. I don't want to hear about the one touchdown anymore. That does not matter.
It does not work with
forward.
Your narrative whatsoever.
Sure it does. I'm not drafting this year. And last year he still paid off at his ADP, by the way, even if you reach around on him. And Delanie Walker had great success with Marcus Mariota when Mariota was starting for the Tennessee Titans in 2015-2016, leaned on his tight end slash wide receiver hybrid, which Kyle Pitts is. Kyle Pitts in the second round. I'm fine with it.
All right. Scott,
I am going with
your third round player you would take in the second round.
I am going with Travis Etienne, running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm chalking up last year's offense to Urban Meyer, and I'm walking away from it.
Yeah, well, you're not alone.
Honestly, it has to be better. I watched every game. We've talked about it on this show, me and you, Charge. We watched a lot. Trevor Lawrence was not accurate, but I got to convince myself that that was bad preparation due to a bad coaching staff. All that stuff was in his head. This year, he's got his safety valve from college back in Etienne, who has looked mostly great in camp. Travis Etienne, I think, has top 10 running back in his range of outcomes in PPR this year.
That's not the only time we're going to drag Urban Meyer.
That's going to be a reoccurring theme, I think, for a while here. My reach-around player in the third round that I would take in the second round is Indianapolis wide receiver Michael Pittman. There aren't many workhorse wide receivers, but this is one of them. Pittman's competition for targets are Paris Campbell, rookie Alec Pierce, and tight end Mo Alie-Cox. The Colts didn't make a move at wide receiver in free agency because they believe they've got their future star, wide receiver Michael Pittman. Defenses have to respect the run. That's going to open up some downfield opportunities for Pittman. And Pittman posts an 1,100-yard season under Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan presents significant upside for Michael Pittman. And as a reminder, by the way, I mean, Pittman was on pace for a phenomenal year last year until Wentz caught up with him. Through week 9 of last year, here was Michael Pittman's average game. 8 targets, 6 catches, 73 yards, and 0.6 touchdowns per game. He would have finished as a top 12 wide receiver had that continued before he got Wentzed into the ground in the second half of last year. Michael Pittman. All right, let's go to round number 4. Scott, who is the fourth rounder you would take in the third rounder of the reach around?
Yeah, this is going to be Allen Robinson. I've talked about this on the other show. I feel like we've gone over this a lot. Robert Woods was wide receiver 13 when healthy. OBJ was wide receiver 12 when he got there through the end of the season. I feel like Robinson just didn't want to play in Chicago. It sounds like he's renewed. He's looking good. I want the wide receiver 2 in that offense. And Allen Robinson going in the 4th with top 12 or, you know, upside to be the 12th wide receiver, the 13th wide receiver like those guys were. Man, I'm taking that all day at that point.
All right, Brian, who is your 4th round receiver you would take in the 3rd round?
Yeah, I love A-Rob, but I'll give a different answer. And I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott, who people forgotten this. He looked very good early on last year. In week 1, it was a rough outing. He finished as RB 45, but he was facing the Bucs, who had the best run defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
Then in week 2 through week 6, he was RB7, RB1, RB6, RB7, and RB15 in week 6 when he got hurt. And he played through these injuries, lingering knee and ankle issues. He was still averaging 5.1 yards per carry. And it went beyond Zeke, too. The O-line had a ton of issues, whether it was suspension or injury. Those should all be shored up right now. And offseason reports have been positive for Zeke. And again, they're positive for everybody. But I think Zeke does bounce back big time. And I think we'll see him. We'll see Tony Pollard on the field a ton. But Zeke will be active in the passing game as well with their lack of pass catching options in Dallas. So I'd reach for Zeke in the 3rd.
My reach around player in the 4th that I would take in the 3rd is Pittsburgh wide receiver Diontae Johnson. All about consistency. He had the NFL's second most targets last year, 10 per game. And even if that drops some, George Pickens looks really good. Yeah. Even if that drops some, he's still sitting on a big, big usage season. In ESPN scoring, Johnson had no games under 10 fantasy points last year.
Yeah.
None.
Can I make an argument that doesn't get thrown out a lot there?
Yeah, please.
Maybe his ADOT and he did so much short stuff is because Ben couldn't throw it that far. Mm. Maybe that goes up.
Yeah, that could be.
Given the same volume with a larger ADOT.
That'd be nice.
Oh, boy.
We'd like to see a little more downfield passing. The Steelers quarterback situation's not great, but Sad Trombonski can, in fact, throw the ball a few more yards downfield than what we were getting out of the undead corpse.
That was happy Trombonski.
Well, that's because we're happy right now about the prospects of Diontae Johnson. All right, let's go to the 5th round. Who is the 5th rounder you would take in the 4th round of our reach around? Brian.
I like Houston's Brandon Cooks here, who had more top 24 wide receiver finishes last year than Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Not combined, but as standalone players. Cooks finished 14th among wide receivers in targets per game at 8.4, and that was with Tyrod Taylor and rookie Davis Mills. And we love Davis Mills here. Think he takes a big leap in his second year. And speaking of games with Davis Mills, Cooks only played in 9 full games with Mills last year. but he averaged 16-plus PPR points per game in those nine games, and that would have made him wide receiver 12 across a full season. So I think there's a lot of safety with Brandon Cooks, and he offers a lot of upside, too, in what should be a much-improved offense.
Davis Mills believer. Right here, I'm one.
Me too.
Yep, yeah, we got three in this room.
All right, three for three.
General
Davis Mills believers.
Yep. Matching tattoos after the show.
Wait.
Depends on where.
You didn't get one when we were going to do that last
year? I'm running out of space on my back. I get a lot of back tattoos, but I can find some room for Davis
Mills. All tramp stamp for you. Everything in that area. All right, let's, Scott, what is your, who is your fifth-round player you would take in the fourth round?
You know, this one had a couple guys I liked, and talking with you in the break, like, I got to go back to my boy. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I just have to. I love that guy. I know that his big breakout came with, you know, Swift and Hockenson injured at points. But just last year, he was one of my sleepers in the preseason because he would go early practice. He'd come late, stay late to practice, catching hundreds of balls from the jug machine.
202, to be exact.
He is ridiculously focused. I think that outbreak happened because of the natural progression of his rookie year and the trust in Goff. Goff has said that he is his guy. I think he's going to do it again this year. I want him on my team again.
At this time last year, J.K. Dobbins was going in the second round of drafts.
Yeah, he really shot up.
He was coming off of a 6 yard per carry rookie season in which he shared time with Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards and still finished as a top 15 fantasy running back in the second half of his rookie year. And as a quick reminder on J.K. Dobbins' rookie year, the final game of his rookie season, which is also, by the way, his most recent game, 160 yards and 2 touchdowns for J.K. Dobbins. Now, prior to his, like I mentioned before, prior to the injury last year, second round draft equity, RB10, since Greg Roman took over as Baltimore's offensive coordinator, Baltimore ranks number one in rushing plays. And yes, Lamar Jackson accounts for some of that, but this is still a deeply run heavy team. Dobbins is trending towards being available in week one, but you figure, you know, we're not talking about a guillotine league where I got a sweat getting knocked out of the league in week one.
Right.
And for most regular leagues, okay, maybe it takes him, maybe he's 8 touches in week one, maybe he's 12 touches in week two, maybe he's 14 touches in week three, and now I got J.K. Dobbins at full speed for the rest of the year.
Sure.
All right, let's do one more round, then we'll take a break from our reach arounds. Who is the round six player you would take in round number five, Scott?
I hate doing this, but I just wanted to talk about him. And actually, Brian stole the thunder. I was going to talk about him earlier. Jalen Hurts. I hate taking quarterbacks this early. I love getting guys like Cousins and Carr and stuff in the double-digit rounds. But Jalen Hurts has every possible shot at being the overall number one quarterback this year.
Yeah.
His rushing already makes him a top QB. In 20 career full games, he's finished as a top 12 quarterback 17 times.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous. That's
it
what
is.
That. Now he adds A.J. Brown. He gets Devonta Smith on a second year now that he knows the off. He's got probably a top five O-line in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And my stats said the second easiest schedule against quarterbacks. Yours said third easiest.
I'll take you. I like
either way,
better.
A top three easiest schedule against quarterbacks. He could easily be QB1, and you're getting him in the fifth or sixth round. Fifth round for the reach around.
For the gambling crowd,
yeah,
great bet for MVP.
I loved hearing you drop that earlier. I'm like, oh, man, that's what I was going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, who is your sixth rounder you would take in the fifth round?
I should just kick this to you when I say Adam Thielen, because this is right up your alley.
Yes.
But I would reach for Adam Thielen in the fifth. Yes, he's 32. That's pretty old in football terms, but he's healthy now. He should have enough gas in the tank for at least one more season at an elite level. Long story short, 24 touchdowns over his last 28 games. If he's playing, he's likely going to score. And those touchdowns came in Mike Zimmer's archaic run-first scheme. Now he's in this pass-happy, pass-first offense under Kevin O'Connell, so I'd reach for Adam Thielen.
I'm with you on Adam Thielen. I think he's the right pick here. Thielen has dozen touchdowns sitting in him if he plays the full season. I think he does play the full season this year. Well, you hope he plays the full season. Can't know. No player has a higher conversion rate into touchdowns on passes that started inside the 10-yard line, plays that started inside the 10-yard line over the last 2 years than Adam Thielen. Kirk Cousins, trust him implicitly with these money throws into the end zone. Cousins, by the way, sneaky player too. But Adam Thielen is a fantastic reach around in round six to round five. When we come back, we'll give you the rest of our reach around players, Fantasy Football Weekly.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Final segment, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi, GuillotineLeagues.com. You can join private leagues with your friends, GuillotineLeagues.com. You can play with up to 18 friends and family, or as small of a number of eight. And if you play with eight or nine in a Guillotine League, you can actually play two back-to-back seasons of Guillotine League fun in one season. Tons of fun that way. You can certainly do that if you'd like as well. Private leagues, public leagues, high-stake leagues, everything you need, and zombie leagues at GuillotineLeague.com. Zombie mode.
Full description of what zombie mode is at the site. Go check it out.
Yes, it's an exciting variation on Guillotine Leagues as well. That's the voice of Brian Johnson, Scott Fish with you as well. We are going through the second half of our reach around. This is where we identify a player that we would take a round before they normally go. I believe we left off on, I think Brian goes first, but I could be wrong. Let's go with Brian.
Yep.
All right. Who is round seven? Who would you take in a round seven player you would take in round six?
I'm going with another Jaguar. Scott had one earlier. No, it's not Dan Arnold. It's a little too soon
shocking.
For Dan Arnold. It's Christian Kirk, though. Last season, Jacksonville wide receivers as a unit were top 12 in catches in the league, and that was with a rookie quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who's getting coached by the aforementioned biggest Nimrod in NFL history, Urban Meyer. So things are only looking up for Jacksonville, and Kirk is the clear-cut wide receiver one there. They paid him that kind of money. They're going to put the ball in his hands as much as possible. I'll gladly take the team's top target at this stage of the draft, even if I'm reaching around it. Christian Kirk.
Okay, Christian Kirk. Scott, your round seven, reach around into round six.
Yeah, I'm going with Alan Lazard. Aaron Rodgers, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers has anointed him the wide receiver one on the team. Future Hall of Famer is what I hear.
Correct.
Rodgers has a real history of trusting the guys he's played with for years, and he's got a couple of new incomers and rookies that'll be playing in that starting lineup. He's going to trust Alan Lazard more than people think, and Lazard has looked good in the spots that he's had as a part-time starter. Full complement of targets. I like him here.
I also have Alan Lazard. And let me pose this. If Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 30, 32, 34 touchdowns, which seems probable for Aaron Rodgers, given his track record, regardless of who he's had over the course of his career, right. This would be, these are for sure lower numbers for him. 30, 32, 34. How does Alan Lazard not hit eight? 10
yeah,
touchdowns?
I was just going to say,
how is that even possible?
30-plus touchdowns, right? Is almost an eight minimum for Lazard.
It is. It's like an eight minimum for Alan Lazard. Yeah. And here you can go get him in the, we would take him sixth round, one round ahead of his normal draft spot. All right, let's go to round eight. Who would you take? What eighth rounder would you take in the seventh round? Back to Scott.
Oh, wow. Switching up the order.
Well, yeah, that's, we get a little back and forth.
I know. It's fun. This one is very clear for me because I'm taking him in the fifth and sixth round.
Okay.
Because I don't care. Ramondre Stevenson. The Patriots constantly run the ball near the stripe, and their run blocking is top-notch with 28 runs last year of 15-plus yards. He's every bit the Bruiser Harris is, but now he's getting lots of, like, he's basically taking on the James White pass-catching role in camp. And everybody there says his pass blocking has improved. I think that's kind of an overrated thing because running backs pass block like 20% of the time at most. But those factors, everything, every drum beat is good for Stevenson going forward, and one injury and he's RB1. A RB1.
Brian, who is the eighth rounder you would take in the seventh round?
I think it's worth reaching a round on Dallas Goedert here. Only saw 76 targets in 2021, but Zach Ertz was on Philly for half the season. Goedert was banged up, played injured, missed a couple games. I think there's a major uptick in volume for Goedert in an offense we've spoke very highly of in Philadelphia right now. And all the metrics are there for a breakout for Goedert. Last year, he averaged 2.2 points per target in PPR leagues. He was second in yards per reception among tight ends at 15 yards, first in yards per route run, led all tight ends in completed air yards per target. Love Dallas Goedert this year.
I also have Ramondre Stevenson as my reach-around player from round eight to round seven. You know, the one thing you didn't, and Scott, you covered most of the bases here. There's a lot of rumors that Damian Harris could be traded off the team entirely. Now, moving running backs isn't easy because most teams don't value them very highly and you don't get much return. So I don't know that that's going to happen. But if this team's willing to trade Damian Harris, maybe Ramondre Stevenson already is the number one running back there.
Yeah.
And they just haven't made, you know, Bill Belichick's never going to tell you until, you know, you find out on week one. There's a chance that that's already happened and it's just not reflected on the unofficial depth chart. We now go to round nine. Who is the round nine player you would take in round eight, Brian?
I'm reaching for Robert Woods here. I know he's coming off the knee injury, but he looks great in camp from what I've seen. He looks fully healthy to me, and I am an internet doctor, just like the rest of us on Twitter and whatnot. But clear chemistry with Ryan Tannehill. We've already mentioned Treylon Burks struggling big time. So who's his prime competitor for targets? The other rookie, Kyle Phillips. Woods was getting drafted before Cooper Kupp last year. I know he was on the Rams, and a lot has changed since then. He's now on the Titans, a different quarterback. But Woods, one of the best route runners in the game still, and I think he's the clear-cut top target for the Titans, and I think he'll be ready to go week one. He said he's watching game tape already for his matchup against the Giants. Could turn out to be a great value, just like his old teammate Cooper Kupp was last year.
All right, Scott, who is the round nine player you would take in round eight?
I would like to take Damian Pierce, running back for the Houston Texans, but I will yield my
defer
time.
Defer that love to me.
I will yield my time.
Oh, you're just being lazy.
To the honorable Paul Chartier.
Yeah, well, we've already talked about Damian Pierce once in this show, which actually, to be at this late stage of the show and have only mentioned Damian Pierce one other time, right. It really is a measure of my personal restraint.
It really harkens back to the Zach Moss year.
you shut up about that, because I'm going to be way more right about.
Well, Damian, you want to go back to the Monty Ball year?
But
I remember here, that.
Here's
one.
The thing: I wasn't in on Moss. I am 100% in on Pierce.
Well, good. I'm glad to have. I'm glad to have you on Team Pierce. No chance that Pierce's ADP stays this low, as he has now moved.
I took him in the sixth in
popping,
two drafts.
Right,
recently.
That's you're gonna have to move way even beyond round eight, I think, at this point, because he's surging up draft boards. Damian Pierce, you're starting running back, getting first team reps on an improving Houston offense that is going to, at a bare minimum, give him goal line looks, but I think he's going to get a lot more than that. And what people don't realize about Pierce, he can catch. This kid's probably yes. sitting on 30, 40 receptions that it's going to chip in and give him, going to negate some of the bad Houston Texans games. That I think he's going to ultimately be very safe. And I'm going to work Damian Pierce as, right now, a flex-style running back, but I'm starting to talk myself into making him like an RB2, a guy that I can feel comfortable taking, starting most weeks. Let's go to round number 10. Who are you taking? What round 10 player are you taking that you could take in round 9. I think we're on Scott for this one.
Sure. I was a little surprised to see Kirk Cousins on this list as a possible option, because I try to get him everywhere. My bold call earlier in this offseason was that he would have a top 5 quarterback season. He's routinely around 10, but he's going 5. Instead, I'm going to give you someone else.
You kind of just gave us Kirk Cousins.
Okay, I'll give you Kirk Cousins. And I was going to say Jalen Tolbert. We've talked about how there's a lot of injuries and stuff going on with the Dallas Cowboys. In your CeeDee Lamb talk about him getting a ton of work. Jalen Tolbert is a beast, a big, strong, fast beast that also has looked good in camp, and he's probably going to be the de facto number 2 to start the season. I'm not sure he's going to relinquish it.
All right. Brian, who is the 10th rounder you're taking in round 9?
Yeah, I got Tolbert too, and it's all about opportunity. He looks like the clear-cut wide receiver too. Of course, CeeDee Lamb is the top wide receiver. Dalton Schultz is going to command a lot of targets in that offense, but Tolbert looks really good. He's very well polished, and he's kind of got that small school stigma out of South Alabama. I think that's why he kind of fell. He didn't fall far in the draft. He was a third-round pick by Dallas, went before guys like David Bell, Danny Gray, we were talking about. But it's really about opportunity. I think you'll see 100 targets if he stays healthy.
I love Kirk Cousins in round – this would be round 9 for some of the reasons you already touched on. If we think he's got two top 20 wide receivers and maybe the number 1 wide receiver, I don't see how – what's not to like about having Kirk Cousins with – it feels like high 30s for a touch. If he was 33 last year in a Stone Age offense, you feel like Kirk Cousins could be closer to 40 touchdowns this year. But let me mention another guy, since we're all apparently mentioning two in this.
Yeah, we're going to mention Cousins.
How about Zach Ertz?
Sure.
Right? You've sloughed that tight end position. Zach Ertz, to me, by ADP, this is the last safe, reliable tight end you can get. Last year, from the point of his trade to Arizona forward, he was tight end 5. And here we are, we're round 9. I can go get a reliable tight end in round 9. That's a gift, because everybody after this has got major question marks. Let's move to round 11 of our reach around. Who's the 11th rounder you would take in the 10th round, Brian?
I love tight end talk. So if I miss out on Kyle Pitts in the second round, if I get sniped there, or Dallas Goedert in the 7th, I forget what I said. But I like Cole Kmet a lot. We don't like the Bears overall as a team, but I think he should be the top or the second target behind Darnell Mooney in that offense. 0 touchdowns for Kmet last year. That doesn't matter to me. Like I said, like one touchdown for Kyle Pitts, I do not care about last year.
That just means you get him at a better value this year.
Get him at a better value. Last year, he was still one of only 9 tight ends with at least 60 catches and 600 yards. The corpse of Jimmy Graham was stealing opportunities from Kmet last year as well. Graham, he gone. So I like Cole Kmet at this point. I think he has top 10 tight end potential.
Scott, who is the 11th round player you would take in the 10th round of our reach around?
Yeah, I love Kmet. That's a great pick. This one feels very chalkish, actually, in George Pickens. I mentioned a couple weeks ago he's getting reps on the outside with Claypool playing big slot. We saw his touchdown from the outside in the preseason game. He's just making highlight catch after highlight catch, which he did before his injury in college as well. Even though he's going right at the start of the double digit rounds, I think he's got every opportunity to be an 800 plus 6 to 10 touchdown guy. In fact, 806 feels like his floor to me as a starting wide receiver in that offense. The only reason he dropped is because off the field issues, maturity concerns, previous injury. Otherwise, he should be right up there with all the other stud rookie wide receivers in this class.
My 11th round player I would take in the 10th round is Chargers wide receiver Josh Palmer. And he was my sleeper last week in our episode. I feel compelled to talk about him again. Not everybody was listening last week, although you should. And we encourage you to go back to the podcast and re-listen.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Palmer getting first team reps in all offseason and now into training camp. He is clearly outpaced any contenders for the Chargers' third receiver job, which will put him on the field a lot. As a rookie last year, Josh Palmer was pretty quiet until December, and then he exploded. The snap count effectively tripled, and all of his output effectively tripled. Now as a sophomore, Josh Palmer's going to be better. He's going to get regular playing time, and he's got a great quarterback throwing to him and a high-powered offense. I love Josh Palmer as one of my favorite sleepers overall, and he's a player I would take in the 10th round instead of the 11th round. All right, let's move to our sleepers of the week. We always do that final segment of every show. Brian, I'm going to begin with you for your sleeper for this week.
I like Indy's Alec Pierce, rookie wide receiver. Looks to be the wide receiver, too, as of right now, alongside Michael Pittman. Paris Campbell, a threat to take that role, but Paris Campbell has had a little trouble staying on the field throughout his career, and rave reviews coming from Pierce out of camp. Matt Ryan loves him, and he's a beast, too. 6'3", huge wingspan, 40-plus inch vertical, and it's not like he's been shredding second-string, third-string cornerbacks in practice. He's been beating, on the regular, Stephon Gilmore, who's an all-pro cornerback.
Right.
I mean,
there's
a ton of potential here for Alec Pierce and what should be a much-improved offense. He's going to see single coverage all day, every day. And, he's going to see plenty of run. And I like Alec.
Just thinking about it, the Colts have a type, man, between Mo Alie-Cox and Jelani Woods and Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman. Like, their arms stretched together could go the whole football field almost.
These are big body.
It's a lot of wingspans.
Yeah, a lot of wingspan. I just drafted Alec Pierce in a Dynasty League, second round, and Empire League. And I went back and just watched through his college tape again.
Sure.
And just make, you know, get really comfortable with Alec Pierce. Man, that's pretty compelling tape. Let me tell you. Contested catches, running from the slot, running outside. Good vision and angles after the catch. Big-bodied guy. Alec Pierce, very, very tempting. I don't know how long it's going to take him to emerge, but here's what I do know is, as much as we love Michael Pittman and talked about him being a workhorse wide receiver, he can't catch every pass.
Right.
And the second most likely target to end up with passes is probably
Paris Campbell.
I love him. I know how I feel about Paris Campbell.
I know. That's why I threw that in there.
All right. Scott, who is your sleeper this week?
So I wanted to go with George Pickens, but I feel like we've talked about him a bunch, and people are starting to catch on.
I think he's one of the biggest stories of the offseason.
Yes. And so I'm going to go way, way deeper, back to my deeper roots in deeper leagues, dynasty leagues. Last pick of your draft, I'm going with Jaylen Warren, 5'8", 215-pound, kind of bowling ballish, but he can catch. He had 25 catches in his junior season, I suppose, his final season of college. He has completely supplanted, according to multiple reports, Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland as the primary backup behind Najee Harris, who does take everything, so he's probably not going to get you like any kind of flex play. But if Najee goes down, here's the other thing. Yes, Brian, you want to say, okay.
No, sorry, I was going to say, Najee, you know, never came off the field, and I'm sorry if you're going to say this, but they want him to not be on the field as much this year, so the backup running back guaranteed to get touches, and you're probably going to say that, and I'm sorry.
No. Okay, I wasn't going to bring that up, but the last thing I was going to mention is, not only is he supplanted and made the second round, he got work with the ones this last week. That's how much they're starting to believe in him there.
Wow, that says a lot.
Yep.
So, if you want that
last
Steelers
roster spot,
handcuff, there you go.
Jaylen Warren.
My sleeper this week is Buffalo wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie.
Yes.
It's not. They haven't made it official, but McKenzie's won the slot receiving role for the Bills. It's over, and that means
they haven't notarized it. But
exactly. They don't have officially sealed yet. He's always been a special teams nightmare for opposing teams, and now he's going to get his first crack at regular offensive usage. And we saw a glimpse of special output from Isaiah McKenzie. Last year, Cole Beasley missed Week 16 of last year. That was the one game Beasley missed. McKenzie took 67 snaps, 11 catches, 125 yards, and a score. And despite all the drama around Cole Beasley last year, Isaiah McKenzie, you know, Cole Beasley was a spot starter with double-digit fantasy points in half his games. And I think Isaiah McKenzie's got way more upside than Cole Beasley did, so I think he can be a spot starter for your fantasy team too. Freakish speed and athleticism. I think McKenzie could be sitting on a very nice year. The player I almost mentioned here, Baltimore tight end Isaiah Likely.
Yeah,
here the week I talked him
but
up.
But I liked him coming out of college.
Yep. I'm telling you, keep an eye on this guy. He's going to be a wide receiver in name only there and going to get some receiver reps. Please check out guillotineleagues.com. My cheat sheet available for free and the freshest, funnest new way to play fantasy football. We'll be back next week for more Fantasy Football Weekly. Thanks, everybody. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.